Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Our next guest just wrote a great piece on the forgotten man in the Browns edge rushing starting battle, Alex Wright, to talk about that, to talk about the quarterback kerfuffle and many, many things. Some are calling her, but not Chris Fedor. Some are calling her the preeminent Taylor Swiftie in town. It is Ashley Bastock at Cleveland.com and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Once again, I love my intro of Style by Taylor Swift coming on here. It really is perfect.
Do I get credit for not knowing the name of the song, but I knew it was Taylor Swift?
I think it's partial credit. It's partial credit. I'll allow it.
You know what? Partial credit when it comes to Taylor Swift is the only thing I'm really ever going to get here.
It's a good deep cut, too. It's not a faux Taylor Swift fan. Wouldn't appreciate
that's
it.
That's a deep cut? I feel like waterboarded with that song.
At this point, I think it's a deep cut, right? Like, at what point is it? I mean, because all of Taylor's songs are so, they're so famous at this point. You don't have to go back for, like, Tim McGraw to have, like, a deep cut for Taylor, do you?
It sounds like we got a Tay-Tay off there, Ashley.
Oh, Ashley. Yeah, is that a deep cut or no?
You know, I'm going to go with it's not. It was a single on one of the most popular albums, so I don't think it counts as a deep cut. It's also, I know Travis Kelce has talked about it being one of his favorite Taylor Swift songs, so I think that also has raised the popularity and awareness of it. I'll say it that way.
People are speculating. Man, they're getting close to breaking up. Are you worried about that at all?
Who's speculating such a thing? Are you speculating
the internet?
This?
No, the internet! There was
you
a video
speculating
of them,
doesn't mean that
there was
it's
a
happening.
Video of them both looking really hammered coming out of a bar, and somebody's like,
I got video of you and Vanessa looking really hammered coming out of a bar. It doesn't mean anything's going on there.
Arcade woman!
You didn't
get permission.
That just means
on
you guys
one.
Are having a healthy relationship in my eyes.
I'm not suggesting. I'm saying people on Twitter, other Swifties.
Ashley, have you seen this, or is he just making up things now?
I'm sure there is, honestly, because it feels like there always is. I will say I'm not too worried about it. I'm not too worried about it either way, truthfully. I think it's, for the most part, just a fun thing for fans to follow along with, and it's a fun story, but I hope everyone involved is happy. That's my only hope for the situation. Everyone is happy.
Well, that's like ending a game and being like, I hope both sides played well.
Yeah, that's a participation trophy mentality, Ashley.
I feel like that's how you got to be in celebrity relationships, though. You have no real stake in it.
That's actually a very healthy way of thinking
healthy.
It. Damn.
That was very healthy
Ashley,
of you.
Do you think all four quarterbacks currently in the quarterback room, it's not Deshaun, do you think all the other four quarterbacks actually have a chance to win the starting quarterback battle still?
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's a wide open competition. I do still think the pecking order is what it is. I know the idea of how many of them are going to be on the roster come cut down day is something that people are throwing around. And I've been saying this. We've all, I think, at Cleveland.com been saying this. I think at this point, all four of them are still going to be on the roster come cut down day, just because, like, I think it's more advantageous to hold on to all of them, see what happens around the league. If you want to develop two younger guys and Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, great. If you decide you want to trade somebody, great. But I mean, right now, truthfully, is kind of just this like dead period where obviously there's no football happening. And even though Shedeur has the off the field incident now with the couple of speeding tickets, I don't think that means he is out of the quarterback battle by any means. I think it just needs to be a learning experience, and you chalk it up to that. And, you know, you hope nothing else makes headlines during this dead time up until we get to training camp. But I still think all four guys are going to come in battling, and that's kind of what the Browns need.
If either one of these rookies do look the best, would you start them, or would you be concerned about how the first 6 weeks just seem really tough?
Yeah, I still would not be in favor of starting one of the rookies because of that schedule. Again, in the first six games, you play all three AFC North opponents, and you play the best three NFC North teams, and one of those games is playing against Minnesota in London when the Vikings will have been there for a full week already, basically. So that beginning of the schedule is still really tough. My personal preference would still be to throw Joe Flacco out there because he has the most familiarity with a system like this. He obviously has the most experience. Now, who knows? I mean, I think Joe is really going to – he's obviously here to compete. He's going to push for this job. But if this narrative that the Browns, you know, just really like Kenny Pickett and think he could be the next Sam Darnold type of player, if that is still taking off by the end of the training camp – and it is Kenny, I do just think it is important that it's somebody who has experience in these types of situations, and honestly, both those guys, too, experience in the AFC North, which I think is really important in those games in particular.
Ashley, if we just boil this down to where it is, the Browns really just waiting for 2026 for the quarterback spot? Are we just passing time with these four quarterbacks?
Well, I would say not necessarily, right? I think they've set themselves up in a really nice position in what Andrew Berry himself on draft weekend said is a stronger draft class in 2026. Like, he was very adamant about that the night they traded with the Jaguars to move down to five and got that extra first rounder for next year. So, like, I think in that way you look at it and you're like, oh, they're just biding time. But at the same token, if one of these younger guys really develops or gets a chance to start and performs well, then I don't think they are necessarily opposed to that. It just means you can do a lot different things with those two first-round picks next year, whether it's make both of them in other positions, whether it's trade one and you know, wheel and deal for 2027. Like, there's all kinds of scenarios at that point. I don't think they are firmly set on, oh, well, we'll just deal with the quarterback next year. We're just biding our time now. I think they just have a really nice security blanket. But if one of these two younger guys works out for them, then I think they'll take that, even if it's not what outsiders would be expecting from this 2025 draft class. Just considering across the board, everyone just pretty much thought it was one of the weaker classes in recent years, and I think the draft played out that way.
Deontay Johnson was on a podcast, and he was saying the Browns will roll with Kenny Pickett, and the two of them, you know, Johnson had 137 targets during Pickett's rookie season. There's something about Kenny Pickett that he just loved targeting Deontay Johnson, and as we were kind of unraveling that convo and talking about it, it was interesting to think about whether or not the Browns exclusively brought Deontay Johnson in for Kenny Pickett. Do you feel like there's any part of that is valid, or is this just they think there's something there with Deontay Johnson that obviously last year enough teams didn't?
Well, I think that might have been part of the equation, and I think ultimately the value was right. But, I mean, Deontay Johnson himself said the Browns were the only team that called him. I think there's a lot of off-the-field and attitude concerns overall with him after last year. He's talked about wanting to change the narrative, but I think that's a big part of why other teams didn't feel the need to add him to their locker rooms. But the Browns, I think, probably knowing they have Kenny Pickett, having seen firsthand what those two did together, I certainly think that could have been a factor. And look, we know they're throwing more at Kenny as they've worked to develop this offense. really Kenny and Dylan Gabriel were in the spring the ones mostly responsible for trying new things, and that's why I do think sometimes the ball was on the ground a bit more with them, because like it's practice, so this is the time for trial and error experimenting. I think they let Kenny Pickett do that, and then when this opportunity presents itself to add a receiver who he's already really comfortable with at a bargain basement price, I think it's smart to take it. So I don't think it was the only reason, but I certainly think it must have played a part in their rationale.
Ashley Bastock, Cleveland.com, and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So we did mention you got a story up on Alex Wright. I feel like at some point in his rookie year, I really just saw that kid's value, and I think he's been a really kind of underrated Andrew Berry draft pick. It does feel like a make-or-break moment because we're coming up on free agency for him. How much of a chance does he feel like he's getting in the edge-rushing room to maybe start opposite of Myles Garrett?
I mean, he certainly feels like not only that he has a great chance, but that he's ready to take advantage of it. And, look, I think Alex Wright might be one of the best interviews on this team. He was really thoughtful. We talked for like about 20 minutes outside. The sun was beaten down after practice, but you know, I think he comes back reinvigorated after tearing his triceps last year. He got off to a really great start last year. I mean, obviously played a key role in the Browns getting one of their three wins when he got that sack safety against Jacksonville. And then here come to find out he had been playing through this torn triceps since joint practices with the Vikings in training camp. So this was a longstanding injury. He really tried to battle it out. At some point, it just became clear that surgery was the best option. I mean, an injury like that, the only way to fix it is from a procedure. So he did that. But, you know, we talked a lot about his mindset. We talked about the mindset post-injury, the mindset with this position battle. And, I mean, he's certainly someone, you see his length when he's out there on the field. Some of those drills they do, it's like if fans go to training camp this summer, just if you get a chance to zero in on him, I recommend it. Because some of those drills they do with the hoops where they're, you know, working on their bend and explosion, like you watch him, he barely has to bend down to get his hand on the ground as they go around these hoops. So just a really fascinating player who I think the Browns always expected would take some time with their development. You know, he was a third round pick. He played college at UAB, so it wasn't the same kind of competition that like a Myles Garrett had coming into the NFL. But I really think he's improved each year. I think it's between him and Isaiah McGuire for that second starting edge spot opposite of Myles. But the good news is I think they're both going to play quite a bit coming up here.
Yeah, no question. Ashley, so outside of quarterback, what is the most interesting storyline for you as we get closer and closer to the season actually getting underway?
Yeah, I would, without quarterback, and I'll take the second starting edge rusher out of it since we just talked about it. Yeah. I really think it's who else besides Jerry Jeudy is going to emerge in this quarterback battle among the pass catchers, because there's a bunch of guys who are going to be getting a bunch of reps. So like, who's going to gel well with which quarterback? You know, for me, when fans have asked, this is one of the questions I've gotten the most from fans throughout the spring and over the last few weeks, is who besides Jerry? And my answer has been Jamari Thrash, who I thought had a really nice spring. The ball was barely on the ground when he was out there. And Harold Fannin, the rookie tight end, who I thought really took advantage of David Njoku's absence during the voluntary portion. Like, I can't say enough good things about what we saw Harold Fannin do. The new tight ends coach, Christian Jones, said on the last day of minicamp, he thinks he only had him charted for one drop in all of spring practices. So he, I think, has gone out there and lived up to the hype. But I really think, okay, you look at how this roster is built, and I do think those tight ends are going to be really, really key in terms of obviously not just blocking, but getting involved in the pass game. So who else besides Jerry Jeudy is really going to shine?
Ashley, to call back to our convo about, you know, waiting for 2026 or, you know, the quarterbacks this year, anytime we have this conversation, fans, you know, wonder, are they tanking, right? And then it becomes, no, are they rebuilding? Are they retooling? Are they trying to win? All this kind of stuff. Is there a specific term, or maybe even a vogue term, that you would use to describe the Browns' approach to competitiveness in 2025?
I would say that we look at what they've done. I would call it like a light retooling or a light rebuilding and maybe a retooling, right? Because I think you saw them move on from some veteran guys who weren't performing, I don't think, the way that everyone expected. And now you got some guys like Alex Wright, like Isaiah McGuire, who in years past, right, they would have gone out and gotten like a big name edge rusher. Like we saw them do it when they got Zadarius or when they got Jadeveon Clowney. But now they're letting these younger guys kind of play. And I do think this regime would not be actively trying to tank. I think that's, number one, really hard to do in the NFL. Like the nature of the sport, you risk injuries. Players are always going to go out there and try to win. So
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I ultimately think, though, you look at the schedule and like the total number of wins is going to be what it's going to be. But I think for the most part, what we're seeing is they have some options at quarterback, but they more importantly have options for next year. So not necessarily biding their time, but if that becomes the case, I think it's not the end of the world necessarily. And now you're looking at some younger draft pieces like those two edge rushers, like a Sed Tillman, like a Martin Emerson Jr., where it's now becoming really important to decide, Greg Newsome as well, who's playing out his fifth-year option, decide what you are going to do with those kind of guys long-term at the same time. So that's kind of how I look at it. It's not obviously a total teardown, but at the same time, they weren't making big, splashy free agency moves in like the hopes of finding the last piece to get to a Super Bowl.
Ashley, great stuff as always. Appreciate you. And I'm sure we'll have you here in the not too distant future as we get you ready for training camp.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Ashley Bastock there, Cleveland.com. Again, read her profile there on Alex Wright coming off the injury on Cleveland.com. And, of course, you can see her all her thoughts and her musings there on Twitter at AshleyBastock42. We'll react to what she had to say. And it does just seem obvious for the Cleveland Browns. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. The second they traded from 2 to 5, that they were playing the long game on quarterback, and that anybody from Joe to Kenny to the rookies, if they have a good season, it'll be that's nice. But even that doesn't preclude them from taking a quarterback next year. Mm-hmm. And yet every time we have that conversation, it seems like certain Browns fans are like, but wait, what about these quarterbacks? It's like, have you said their names out loud?
Well, or
have you said Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders out loud?
You just got to look at each one of their situations and do it individually, and I think it makes sense, right? Like Flacco, for instance, is a million years old. This is it. This is the last year, and then Joe Flacco is riding off into the sunset. That's his reality. Kenny Pickett doesn't have a contract after the season. Mm-hmm. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option with good reason. Like, if he turns into Sam Darnold, he turns into Sam Darnold. That's not the expectation, and then you have a third and a fifth-round quarterback.
Yeah, and listen, it doesn't mean that something can't... It shouldn't diminish your excitement. Guys, we're free of Deshaun. Our excitement should come from we're at the end of that rainbow. We do not have to deal with so much of the crap that we've had to deal with the last 3 years.
Or how about the idea that in a poison pill year, we have excitement in general at all?
Yeah, and
this year's supposed to stink. Well, it's not supposed to be exciting, and we have some excitement.
And in fairness, in most poison pill years, the bloodletting will have already begun. You can't if you're the Browns. So we get another year of Joel. We get another year of Wyatt. We get another year of guys we, honest goodness, love watching play football. So, yeah, I mean, I think that this value of this season is that, hey, we have to field a team. And I think you have people in a position where their intent is to win as many games as possible. So if it can happen, you've got guys inclined to do it instead of guys going into a year thinking, hey, we have no intention of winning. And by the way, I think that matters to this locker room. And do I think it's more often or more likely than not that you get a top five, top 10 pick and either have to trade up or naturally fall right in line for a spot with one of the quarterbacks? Yeah, I think that's probably where this is going. But they still got to play the games, and it's not like they're trying to lose. So, like, when we say, like, oh, like anytime you say, hey, they're going to get the quarterback in 2026, people go, are they tanking?
Yeah, like the tank is on, and the tank is not on.
It really isn't. Not yet. There might be a point. There might be a point in which this turns into a tank this season if they start 1-7.
And it should be obvious, like when they're playing DTR for the final three games of the season, and it was obvious to everyone what was going on.
When they bring DTR back this year to start him for another couple of games, that's when you'll know. Yeah. But like, I look at it like the Browns are auditing 2025. Like, if you didn't know if you wanted to take a college course back in college, because that's where you take college courses at. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, well, let me pop into like a class and I'll sit in one day and see if the subject is what I'm really into.
Oh, I never did that, by the way.
Neither did I, but I have tons of friends who actually did. And I was like, maybe I'd have a degree if I did this.
Maybe I should have done that. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe you'd have 2 degrees at this point.
Could have had a great life lesson out of it and it'd change everything. I don't know.
But I do think, like, I think the Browns are auditing 2025. And so if they start 1-8, there's probably a realistic answer here that will unfold. And if they start 8-1, well, then an answer probably is unfolded in one way or another. And so they don't have to make a definitive decision today. But it's so interesting. I understand that 9 times out of 10, we should glean our excitement on a situation from can they win? I just don't know how you could reasonably look at this situation, quarterbacks, team, and otherwise, and just assume anything other than they're going to get their quarterback in 2026.
Well, and I think the Browns have done a really good job of trying to present what they believe to be at least somewhat competitive roster and team. It's just, we're just not buying that it's going to be anything close to what they're presenting us with.
Well, and
like they're approaching the season, Nick. I don't know if you feel this way or not, but like between the optimism and the excitement attached to all this stuff, and some of the energy around just the idea of even like Shador last week getting a pair of speeding tickets, like that's, you freak out over that stuff when you have a team that's about to win 11 games, mm-hmm. not a team that's projected to win 5.5.
Well, but I there's a part of me that I'm a little caught off guard that people think that 2026 isn't the plan, and that somehow, and that they're, here's the thing, guys, I think if they could have saved money cutting several of their offensive linemen, they would have. I think that if they could have saved money cutting any, meaning like money now and in the future, by moving a couple veterans from this team, I think they would have done it. They can't do it because the way the money is locked in with this team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only way that this doesn't resemble the auditing 2025 thing, because they do have enough talent that if everything goes right, yeah, maybe they win 7 or 8 games as opposed to 5 or 6 games. We're doing a lot of heavy lifting here on the idea of if everything goes right, though.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. It's just such a fascinating spot. I just keep going back to the idea that fans think this upcoming season is supposed to be something magical.
And I think that's the reason why is we don't play, we don't traffic in fair often because life isn't fair, sports isn't fair, that's how this goes. But if I'm going to give this organization and these, you know, Stefanski and Barry a fair shake at how I perceive them, as the guy who at the end of this last year said, get Kevin out of here, I want a real leader,
right?
I do need to traffic in fair expectations. And if you think Joe Flacco is going to turn back the clock and they're going to win, you know, 11 games and they're going to be the playoffs again, I don't see how that's realistic or fair.
No, you just wait to be pleasantly surprised, I think. And I think if the Browns are being honest, and an honest moment, they would say the same thing as well. You approach it with the plan of we can do moves and make the quarterback decision in 2026 in the draft. But if we are pleasantly surprised, then let's get up and go.
Yeah, like for instance, Pro Football Network, Jacob Infante.
You had to make sure you didn't say Pro Football Focus there, didn't you?
I did. I don't. Why would
really think
why
about
does
it.
Everything have to be Pro Football something?
Pro Football Reference, Pro Football Focus.
He put out his new mock draft.
Pro Football Network.
Which we had all been waiting on. And he's got Cade Klubnik going to the Browns at one.
Yeah, our way too early three-round mock draft.
Yeah, the three rounds was where it really got deranged. Like, you could have just given us 32
picks. That's where it got deranged.
Yeah, well, there's a fair amount of people who do a summer mock draft because, you know, they write for a living and they're just trying to get
some
tricks.
Mock draft world. Does Joe DeLeon, does our draft guy, does he do a three-round mock? If not, I don't know that we can have him back as our draft guy next year.
Jake, can you check with Joe DeLeon and see if he does a three-round summer mock draft?
Maybe we need to get him on the horn and make a career. None of them needs our assessment on this. But
clearly he does if he's not putting out a three-round mock draft.
For his own career. Like, just tell them. Like, we got Pro Football Network people that are dominating headlines just because they're the only people doing it in June.
And here's the other thing.
Open avenue.
No one's going to slaughter you a year from now if you went 0-32. You put like a six-rounder in the first round.
That's the beauty of it. Is like you can just be like, well, I mean, information changed. They played a whole season of games. Like, my problem with the flip-flopping that happened for the 4 months leading up to the draft was
like a guy like Shador.
Yeah, was that
for instance.
The games were done. All the hay was in the barn. There was nothing else you could evaluate off of. Like, we watched them play. It was over. Meanwhile, these guys, they have a whole season's worth of games.
216-474-0092.
Sorry, what do the Pro Football Network people say?
Cade Klubnik to the Browns, number one pick next year.
All right, so they have us not only getting the number one. I saw the mock two had us at getting the number eight overall pick as well.
Mm.
I think we went lineman in that one, just for those keeping score at home.
Which lineman? The good lineman or the defensive lineman?
I mean,
lineman.
I'm assuming he's going to be a good lineman. Oh, no, offensive lineman. I thought you meant like actual player. I don't remember these players' names.
If DeJuan does lock down the left tackle
Caleb
spot.
Caleb Lomu, the offensive tackle out of Utah.
Been a big Caleb Lomu fan.
Emu Lomu. It's like the Emu Limu.
When he mad, he go moo.
Something like that. Smooth offensive tackle who allowed 2 sacks and 425 pass blocking snaps in 2024. His hand timing, balance, and range and pass protection make him a top tackle prospect, especially if he continues to bulk up.
Can we get the Careless Whisper on? Give me a little taste of the careless. All right.
That's what we got for Travis Hunter as part of the deal.
All right. Are we ready for this now? All right. Give me a little 50 Shades of the Draft here. Give me the technical, the nits and the grits here, but give me a little lower and slower.
Caleb Lomu, smooth offensive tackle, who allowed only 2 sacks and 425 pass blocking snaps in 2024. His hand timing, balance, and range in pass protection.
Gotta bring protection.
A top tackle prospect, especially if he continues to bulk up.
I love his hand timing.
Having drafted a quarterback with their first round pick in this mock, the Browns can use their extra first rounder on an offensive lineman to protect their
going
new.
Going too fast. Slow down.
I got bored with myself. So we had to finish this.
You know you never got bored with? Caleb Lomu. And that hand timing. By the Browns, waiting for 2026 for the quarterback spot. And the difference another 15 games will make for one of Ohio's favorited sons. In 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.